If you have your Bibles, please turn them with me to Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll be looking at verses 8 through to 19 together. So Proverbs 1, 8 through to 19. I don't know about you, but TV shows can often be an important part of growing up, and it kind of places you in a particular period. Now, for me, I grew up with shows such as The Waltons and The Brady Bunch. And half of you are going, what are you talking about? For those who don't know, these are shows based around a mum, a dad, plenty of kids. They do life together. But then later on, TV shows that became influential to me, and please don't judge, Beverly Hills 90210, Friends, Seinfeld. I know Leandro's a fan. These shows, for those people who aren't aware, move from the family to friendship groups, to peer groups. What are the more popular shows today? Well, it's hard to find shows about families and even trustworthy friends. And if you look at the most popular shows in the last decade, you have shows like Big Brother, Survivor, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And these have nothing to do with family or even stable friendships. These are basically shows that say, who can you trust? Who can you counsel? Who can you receive counsel from? And this is what draws all these shows together. These shows are all about relationships, some of them functional, some of them dysfunctional. And what we have here in Proverbs chapter 1 is a reminder that there are those in this world we can trust, we ought to trust, we must trust when they give us biblical counsel. And there are also those in this world we must avoid, we must shun, we must reject their invitations. So let's pray and ask for God's grace now as we look at these verses together in Proverbs chapter 1. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us this book in Proverbs, a collection of infinite wisdom given to us that we might live a full, a complete, a satisfying life in this world and also the world to come. Lord, we pray that you would remind us again that there are voices that we can trust, there are voices we must heed and listen to, but there are also competing voices we must avoid and run from. And Father, we also thank you that you sent your Son into this world who listened to you and obeyed you perfectly, that we might have eternal life. And so, Lord, even as we look at Proverbs, we pray that we would be reminded of that gracious gift of sending your Son into the world for us sinners. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those who are visiting, we have just started a series in Proverbs. And last week I gave a bit of an overview. We saw that Proverbs, most of Proverbs, was written by Solomon and other wise men. And it was given to encourage us to walk through life with joy, with satisfaction, with fullness of life, and to avoid the troubles and the plagues of this world. Here in verse 8, Solomon continues. So let's read verse 8 and 9 together. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head, and pendants for your neck. Each of us, all of us, our lives start with a father and a mother. Half our DNA is from mum, half from dad. And the first voices we usually hear are from our parents. Maybe you heard your mother sing a lullaby to you. If your memory is that great, fantastic. But maybe you've seen mums singing to their children. Or maybe the first voice you can remember is hearing your dad celebrate and cheer. Maybe your first step, your first goal, your first victory. The first voices we hear are usually from a loving mum and a loving dad. Along the way, parents give plenty of direction and counsel and advice to children. Because God's overarching plan for families is for stability, security, sound counsel and sage advice being passed on from one generation to the next. Parents speaking into the lives of their children. And so here we have Solomon saying, "Son, listen to me, hear me. I know you're busy. I know the world is rushing past and you want to run into the world and enjoy life. But son, pause. Listen to me. Hear my words. Hear your father's instructions. Because I want the best for you. So listen and pause and hear my voice. I've got very important things to share with you. And also, son, don't forsake, don't forget the teaching of your mother, of your mum. Don't ignore her. Don't leave it behind. Don't abandon your mother's teaching. A good dad, a faithful father, not only encourages his children to listen to him, but to listen to the voice of their mother. It's a joint effort. Now, of course, it's one thing to hear and to listen, but it's another thing to remember and hold on to. And as I was preparing this, all I could think back to was lectures at university. And if you've ever been to university or TAFE or some teaching institution and it's a hot summer's day and the fan is droning because there's no air conditioning and you can hear the lecturer speak, you can see the words on the screen, you can even see his mouth making those words, you're hearing and you're listening, but after that hour, you've retained nothing. Solomon's saying, don't be like that. Don't be like that when you're listening to your mum or listening to me. Content in one ear and out the other. That's only half the job. And if it's only half the job, it's no job done. What does he want us to hear and to not forsake? Well, he has these promises. A garland for the head and a pendant for the neck. Now, those who know me, and you can confirm this with my wife, I'm not really into jewellery and into those adornments. Okay? Guilty as charged. But there is biblical mandate. There is biblical warrant for such things. What is it? It paints a picture of success and prosperity and victory. A garland was to celebrate some victory in an athletic feat or perhaps in victory or in a battle. If we listen to wise parents, to those giving us sage biblical advice, the promise here from Solomon is there is blessing for you. It's a promise of good life. Who can help me here? What is the fifth commandment? What is the fifth commandment? Rachel, nice and loud. Why should you listen to father and mother? Why should you honour father and mother, Rachel? Do you know? That we may live long in the land that the Lord our God gives us. Listen to our parents that we may live long. And if Mr. Spock was here, he would say live long and prosper. That's why. But verses 8 and 9... I don't know if you picked it up. They are radical and revolutionary. You read this out today, we would be in big trouble if we read this out and declared this in public. Why? I'll give you two reasons why these are radical and revolutionary words. The first reason is this. Verses 8 and 9 are, wait for it, big word, heteronormative. It assumes that there is a father and a mother in a stable family unit. And it's radical because there have been recent changes in our laws, in the Marriage Act. There are shows like Modern Family, Media elites are always tweeting or making comment on this, that we can celebrate all types of family except a standard, traditional, biblical and natural family of a father and a mother. Every true family starts with a mum and dad. Yes, science has advanced, but you can't start a family without each of those. Now, of course, there are times when family structures can be disrupted because of sin. And of course, what I'm talking about is there can be strains in relationships that can lead to desertion, disputes, disagreements leading to divorce. In a sinful world, accidents happen. We do encounter disease, so sometimes death robs us of one or maybe both parents. But in God's original plan, that's not how it's meant to be. We're meant to have a father and a mother who love us. Normal course of action is to have both counselors in our ears. To talk about a mum and dad may be outdated. It may seem prejudiced or even hate speech in some circles, but we have to affirm that's nonsense. God has designed us to have father and mother. But the second reason why this is radical and revolutionary is this. Today, families are not to be seen as the primary place for education and imparting wisdom. What I mean by that, and I'm not talking about advanced algebra or calculus or grammar. That's not what I'm talking about. But more and more there is an encroaching attack on families to take from you as parents the right to teach your children what is right and what is wrong, what is to be honoured and what is to be ashamed of. More and more, society at large says, no, that's our job. Hollywood says that's our job. Politicians say that's our role. Schools say we're going to teach your children what is right and what is wrong. And to be fair, to the extent it supports what a mum or dad says, all well and good. But if it's challenging what biblical parents are teaching their children, I must say we must be very careful. We must be very wary. We're seeing increasing moves today to limit parental responsibility. And the world wants to be the gatekeeper on defining what is wisdom for our children and for future generations. So friends, please be alert that verses 8 and 9, as acceptable as it might be for us in this room, in the world out there, it's radical, it's revolutionary. Verses 8 and 9 requires both parents speaking into children's lives. So here's some early application. Children, do you hear your father's voice? Do you hear your father's voice? Do you know what your father's voice sounds like? Here's a question. How many times does your father have to call you or tell you an instruction? It's easy to say, yes, I hear my father's voice. We have a saying in our family that we only call you once. So, oh, but the music was loud. This was... So, that's not our problem. That's your problem. Your responsibility, children, is always to be able to hear your father's voice. Once is enough. Once is enough, right? And we also say, I don't like wasting my breath. I've got other things to talk about. We listen once and once only. Children, do you listen to your mother? Is it easier to listen to one over the other? Or do you listen to both equally? If your father tells you to do something, will you obey because you know that there may be some consequences if you don't? But if your mother asks you to stop or do something, that's less important. Children, don't forsake what your mother is teaching you as well. We have another saying in our family. If you ignore dad, that's punishment one. If you ignore mum, that's double the punishment. Because what we're trying to encourage is listen to your mother as well. Okay, I'm biased, show discrimination, judge me. That's not just to children. Fathers, are you speaking to your children? Are you spending time with them to counsel them, to love them, to instruct them? Or are you the father that goes to work and says, that's my wife's job, that's her business. I don't know, I've delegated. I'm all into delegation. No, a father's role is to lead his family in giving wise biblical counsel. Speak to your sons, speak to your daughters, especially whilst they have a tender ear to your words. And mothers, is your advice, is your counsel worth keeping, or is it better to be ignored? Mothers, you need to, can't just wait for dad to come home to deal with it. You need to deal with it as well. And if there are issues, if you're looking after your children primarily throughout the day, there needs to be a respect and an honour for your word as much for you as it is for the father. And of course, verses 8 and 9 assumes that mother and father are on the same page. What I mean by that is that they're speaking the same things. It's not that father is saying, go left, and mother is saying, go right. That's just unfair to children because they can't win either way. And so there is a responsibility for fathers and mothers to be talking to one another and ensuring we understand what we're speaking into the lives of our children. There's so much in verse 8 and 9 that is unsaid, but can't be said unless these things are true. So you get the same advice. That means you're, at a basic level, you're not unequally yoked. And the advice that we give has to be biblical counsel, drawn from Scripture and the principles contained therein. Now, here's a question that I wrestled. What if sin means you've lost one or both parents? Maybe they're divorced, maybe they're separated, maybe one has passed on, or maybe both. Or maybe your parents aren't giving sound advice because they're not believers and they're telling you to do silly and crazy things contrary to God's word. What do you do then? And I appreciate for some that can be a hard topic to look into. Well, that's where being part of a church family is so important. Because here, not only do you have older brothers and sisters, Paul describes himself as a father to the church. There are those in this church that you can draw to as someone like a father or a mother, getting wisdom. A healthy, functioning church should have evident support and care and love for one another, mimicking here what we see in verses 8 to 9. Let's move on to verse 10. We've heard the exhortation from Solomon to hear not only him, but also the mother. But it's not just parents that speak to us. In verse 10, we have a new character introduced. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. There are other voices seeking to influence you. Other voices seeking to influence me. It is a wide, eclectic marketplace with different ideas, different thoughts, different philosophies. In this example, this sinner, corrupt company, let's call them kids, this is a bad guy. They come and whisper to you. They say, come with us. Let's have fun. Let's have a good time together. Verse 14 says, cast your lot with us. That is, let's get a big bag, let's put all our things together, and let's go on this wonderful adventure together. Be part of our gang, our social group. We will give you something that your parents won't give you or can't give you. That's how people speak. They say, come to us. In verses 11 to 12, let's see what the promise here is. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them up alive and whole. Like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot amongst us, and we will have one purse. My son, don't walk in the way with them. There's a promise here of precious goods, some benefit, some gain. And here's the thing, if your family life is healthy and your heart is secure, this shouldn't be such a great temptation. But if your family is strained, dysfunctional, and your heart is restless, this promise of wonderful things looks slightly alluring and attractive. I'll have a little bit of that. These bandits want to fill their house at the expense of someone else. They want to rob them. They want to mug them. They want to steal from them. Now, to be fair, this is a pretty extreme scenario. I mean, who here would say, car pulls up and says, hey, we're about to rob the NAB or the Westpac down the road and we need an extra driver. Do you want to come with us? I think most people would walk away at that point. However, there are still many attractive promises that don't involve mugging someone. Let me give you an example. But before I give you these examples, just remember later in Proverbs, there's going to be many exhortations of how to get ahead, how to become prosperous. And you know how to do that? It says, be diligent, work hard, use honest means. But here at the outset, it's saying, there's people offering you a get-rich-quick scheme. Take a shortcut and you can get the money sooner rather than later. In the workplace, are you ever tempted if you tell a little white lie or if you're a little bit smooth over here, things will go well for you? Just don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. I mean, who's it going to hurt? It's only going to hurt this big blue chip company. Oh, they can afford it. We deserve it. We can take these things for ourselves. What about in marriage? One of the most blessed, but and at times can be one of the most difficult relationships. And God says, be faithful, work hard, be sacrificial. But what's the world say? The world says, oh, it's like stale bread. You don't want that. If you want a good life, if you want an enjoyable life, have a quick fling. It's okay, no one will know. Take this shortcut and you can receive all these blessings from the world. And so whether it's an employer, whether it's a husband or a wife, maybe a stranger, there is a temptation for personal gain at the expense of someone else, someone innocent. And that's what we have here in verses 11 to 14. You have to set a trap so someone falls in so you can benefit. But a wise father warns, doesn't he? He warns in 15, don't walk in their paths. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Why do they warn? Don't walk with them. Ignore peer pressure. And it's very easy for me to say in midlife. You know, in midlife, quite frankly, you don't care about too many things in life, about what other people think. But when you're a young adult, a teenager, an adolescent, these words are very tempting. Because at that age of life, you're becoming more independent. You're spending more time away from home. Your social group of circles moves away from father and mother and siblings to friends from school, friends you meet in other places. And so those words are very tempting to hear at certain stages of life. Peak pressure, peak peer group pressure, is often between the ages of 12 and 22. It's a reminder we must pray earnestly for those in that life stage. Because that's when they're developing independence and they're starting to question what mum and dad have to say. The father warns of dire consequences, and this can be seen in verse 17. Look at this. In vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. What that's saying is, these guys are such chumps. They don't know what they're doing. They're putting out a net and all the birds can see it. They go, what idiots. You think I'm going to go there and fall into that trap? But these men, in verse 18, lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Who here can remember that cartoon, The Roadrunner? Roadrunner. Those who don't know, it's set in, I think, Phoenix, Arizona. There's little cactuses, there's cliffs and so forth. Two characters, the Roadrunner, the Coyote. The Coyote would always come up with all these contraptions to try and trap the Roadrunner. But at the end of every scene, it is the Coyote that ends up in the trap. And friends, it's funny in a cartoon, but in life, when we're making ethical and moral decisions, we look as stupid as the Coyote. In the end, the only thing you will catch is yourself. In summary, don't listen to anyone encouraging you to make a quick buck, fast gain at the expense of someone else. We will see. We will see throughout this series in Proverbs that there's only one way, that's through diligence and hard work. You go down that path, that shortcut, get rich quick scheme, you will only snare yourself. How does this then all apply to us? Now, at a very basic level, and I trust even the children can understand this as we explained it during the children's talk, the wise son, the wise daughter listens, hears their mother and father, does not forget. And especially those who bring biblical counsel and advice. And we're also to avoid listening to those who promise shortcuts and gain through sin. That's at a basic level, and I trust people can see that that makes sense. And you know what? This truth would be held across every other culture as well. Because natural law would tell you, listen to those who love you, who've invested in you. But Proverbs 1 gives us so much more than just that basic lesson in life. Because this actually points to the Lord Jesus Christ and our need of him. Because when we think about listening to our earthly fathers and mothers, we all know, we've all been there. All of us have ignored them. All of us have forsaken them. Even if they've given us good advice, there have been times when I said, I know better. I understand the world better than you. I'm going to do it my way. And sooner or later, you're wiping egg off your face. That's how life works. But we have a greater problem, and that is we have a perfect heavenly Father. And you see, there are times to ignore earthly fathers and mothers when they give you unsound, unbiblical advice. But there's never a point in life when we say, oh, I don't need to listen to God. And so all of us have ignored God's perfect counsel. We try to advance through life on our own terms. We've done stupid things. We have all sinned. We try to rob others of glory, of their reputation. We gossip, we slander. We try to gain rewards from little effort and diligence, from unjust gain. But like the trap that he set here with these guys trying to catch a bird, have we not all been caught out? The trap he set, but it comes back to bite us? And the way it comes back to bite us is in Romans 6, and it says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. When we sin, we die. And there is no one in this room that will avoid that. That's our folly, our stupidity. And as much as I want to apply this perfectly, I know I will stumble and fall. Yet there is another son, a greater son. And that son is Jesus Christ, who is the complete opposite of us. He's the only son who truly listens to his father. Is he not tempted? Does he not have people come alongside him and say, don't do that? Isn't he taken into the wilderness and tempted to take a shortcut to get food, to get glory, to get his kingdom? What's Jesus say? I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to my Father. Doesn't he have friends? Even his disciples say, you're not going to the cross. And he says, get behind me, Satan. See, even good friends can give bad advice at times. No, Jesus is the only true son who perfectly listens to his Father. But there are others in Matthew 26 who scheme against him. The scribes, the Pharisees, says, this guy's causing us problems. We need him dead. So they plot. They create a trap. They reach out to Pontius Pilate, to Herod. They set out a trap. Jesus is like that bird. He can see the trap. He can avoid the trap if he wants to. But does he? No, with eyes wide open, he walks down that gauntlet into that trap. He walks up Calvary's hill to the cross. He's listened to his father. He's had others say, no, don't go there, but he's gone there. He submits himself to the cross, to the trap set by sinful men. Why? For all the times we fail to listen to our Father, the same Father. He is pinned on a cross that we might go free. He is punished not because he didn't listen to his Father, but because he did listen to his Father. Friends, his life is cut short that for anyone and everyone who puts their faith and trust in him will have eternal life, no matter how many times we've ignored our Heavenly Father. What a Saviour. What a Lord. What a God. Friends, Proverbs just doesn't tell us to listen to our mum and dad. It does that. And kids, we ought. And mums and dads, we ought to input into our kids' lives. But Proverbs also reminds us that there is a greater son who's done what we could not do because we could not do what we ought to do. So we ought to spend time giving thanks and praise to him because all of the scriptures speak of our wonderful Saviour. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you that there is a greater son, our elder brother, who despite seeing the trap set before him, walked willingly, lovingly into that place of darkness that we might see light of light. Oh Lord, help us to appreciate more and more our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And may you give us the grace to listen to wise and biblical counsel, whether it's from our earthly fathers or mothers, physical, biological, maybe spiritual in the church. And for those of us who've gone before, may we take time out and invest in those coming behind us, that a generation may be raised up, not on the world's wisdom, but on the wisdom that pours forth from your word. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.